I'm Eli Manning.
How y'all feeling today?
Welcome to another edition of Giants Access Blue presented by Toyota. I'm Bob Papa in the Quest Diagnostics Training Center. Over the next half hour, we'll take a look back at the Giants Super Bowl 25 season and the behind-the-scenes stories. Because with every team, there are always stories that go behind the ones that you know. This was a team that was coming off a devastating loss the previous year. But this Giants team fought through adversity and had to deal with a lot going on around it, including the backdrop of war as they entered Super Bowl 25.
Fans are on their feet and screaming. Snap, spot, kick is away, he's got the distance. It is good, good,
and
good.
The Giants are going to Tampa Bay. It's over for the three-peats. It's over.
That's the greatest euphoria I've ever had in sports right there.
They said it just did good.
They keep on telling me I can't, and, you know, I'm going to the Super Bowl. So the
Giants' longtime backup quarterback was now New York's most sought-after star, and broadcaster John Madden wanted the next post-game interview.
Bill Parcells was coming up past me. As soon as he got to the buses were taken off. So I told the guys that were with me, hey, I only do this interview if you hold the buses. And they said, don't worry about it. He's not going to leave. Nobody's going to leave. So I do the interview with Madden. I come up, and I think there were four or five buses, all of them gone. Madden came up and said, what's wrong? And I I told him that Bill took off. And he just started laughing. He said, I'll get you there. Well, I thought, how in the world are you going to get me there? I have no idea even where the plane is. We got on his Madden Cruiser, and his driver made a couple calls, pulled to the airport, and we pulled this back gate, and somehow the back gate opens up. I can remember walking up onto the plane, and Bill was sitting there right away in the first row. And I can remember the look in his face where he was as surprised as could be that I was there. And just the nod of approval that I'd found the way to get there was all I needed.
I told him when we go to San Francisco, pack for 2 weeks because we're not coming home. And the plane ride from there to Tampa was the most memorable trip that I've ever been on. It was such a celebration. The players so happy, and, you know, they had a couple beers and relaxed, and it was just great.
One of the great plane rides in history, flying from San Francisco to Tampa. Everyone going nuts the whole time.
What to
do?
We're in the Super Bowl.
Where are you going?
We're going to Tampa Bay.
Ah!
That might have been the best plane ride I've been on in a long time. Because I tell you what, we're having some fun on that plane, though.
Hey, Tampa Bay, baby.
Guess who's behind us? Oh, my God. Uh-oh. Oh, my God.
Happy New Year, guys. We're going to the show.
What are you going to do down at Tampa Bay? Thank you very much. Do you know who that was, folks?
George Corsell.
Wow.
He has to talk to me in 10 damn weeks.
Who do we have? Tom Coughlin, soon to be coach of Boston College
BC.
University. After he wins the Super Bowl.
BC.
After he wins the Super Bowl.
Coach, a few words for the family, please.
Tell everyone out there that I expect the entire Giant organization to help me recruit this week. And I'm sure that all those prospects will immediately come to Boston College.
Now Norwood tries to kick his longest ever on grass.
Back, back.
No good. Wide right.
Giants win. Giants win. Giants have won. Super Bowl 25.
Before Super Bowl 25 in Tampa, Tom Coughlin, the Giants receivers coach, had already accepted the head coaching position at Boston College and was mapping out his own plan for success.
I started the process of trying to put a staff together, and we did some recruiting right after the... I had Bavaro, and I remember Mark saying to me, Coach, is this kid interested in Notre Dame as well? I said, no, Mark, this guy's not interested in Notre Dame at all. You know, Notre Dame was in on the kid, of course. And then and Lawrence Taylor did the same thing, grabbed the phone, talked to a guy, yeah, you got to go to Boston College, you got to be with this guy, you know, that kind of stuff. So it was, from that standpoint, it was a whole lot of fun.
In three seasons at BC, he turned the program into a consistent winner, capped off with a 41-39 victory over number one ranked Notre Dame. In 2004, Coughlin and the Giants would reunite as he was named the 16th head coach in franchise history.
My heart's racing because in the back of way back there, you know, 100 years ago, this is where I always wanted to be.
There we are.
Oh, my God. Look at that. Look at your girlfriend. Hello, guys.
Good morning, brother. Good to see you. Glad to show you this stuff.
During the 1990 season, Sean Landetta and rock star Jon Bon Jovi developed a strong friendship that has lasted 25 years and counting.
So, I had met Jon. We were out in the city one night and asked him if he'd like to come to practice, and being the Giant fan he is, absolutely. And I asked Bill, I cleared it with him, and I'm glad to hear that he yelled at you, so you know you fit in with the rest of us.
Yeah.
You didn't escape that. But yeah, it's just one of those things that he came to practice, and me being a big fan of rock and roll music and his songs, we formed a friendship.
And there we are.
Oh my God, look at that, look at your girlfriend. Now,
25 years later, we can look on, back on it with great memories.
Yeah, look.
Pretty good photographer.
It's so true. Look at that.
Bon Jovi also had a passion for photography. And when Sean introduced him to Giants photographer Mike Malarkey, they came up with an idea that would make the 1990 season one he'd never forget.
Being on the sideline is a privilege, and it's really rarefied air. This is a period in time when practices weren't open to the public. Sideline passes were verboten. And unfortunately for me, meeting Mike through Sean, and Mike Malarkey said, come over here, hold this camera bag. It was really important to me not to stand out. It was make sure that you could be as close to being one of the staff as possible. So you tuck your hair up, you pair, you know, the cheap pair of sunglasses and a t-shirt. You know, in that rare occasion, I had a sleeveless shirt on because I would go out of my way to make sure that something like that Superman tattoo didn't stand out. You'd keep your head down. You were there to be a crew member. You were there behind the cameras. You know, you were holding the camera back. You were looking like an assistant, not like the rock star trying to be on the sideline. And so because of that, the photographers did the same kind of thing. And that's how I was able to, you know, make friendships. Because I wasn't looking, it wasn't about me, it was about the game.
And here,
yeah, right.
Got you all camouflaged up a little bit.
Yeah, on enemy territory.
I was fortunate enough to go to away games, I was fortunate enough to be in Frisco for the playoffs, and Phil was hurt, and Haas was doing his job out there, so I got to spend all that quality time with Phil Sims, and it was amazing, and Otis Anderson, and LT, and Carl Banks, and Sean, and the Giants were on a roll.
You were at the NFC Championship game in San Francisco?
Yes, I was.
Matty Barr.
Yep.
Matty Barr.
Remember that? That was awesome.
And it all goes on his shoulders.
Snap, spot, kick is away, it's got the distance, it is good! Good!
And the
good.
Giants are going to Tampa Bay, it's over for the three-peats, it's over.
Hi, Shannon. Yes, sir. This is John. This is the guy that just won the game. And we're going to Tampa.
And Giant football in the Super Bowl.
There was a true sense of great American spirit in the building. The feeling in the stadium was unlike anything else that I could, certainly in my adult years, remember or since. Because, you know, the nation had come together in such a way with Kuwait.
Holy Grail right here.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Right.
Our guy, John, gets these cool T-shirts made up. It says, Show No Mercy.
This is before Under Armour and Nike existed in the whole...
Yeah, the original era. Under Armour guy. I mean, can you imagine? We all wore these
with
under
the Bon Jovi
our shoulder
logo
patch.
And the Giant logo.
Yeah.
On the,
yeah,
Bon Jovi, and they wore these right underneath here. Their Super Bowl uniforms. Yeah.
I don't know if you believe in things like that or whatever, but, you know, just a... It was a little spark, you know what I'm saying? That you said to yourself, wow, look what he did for us.
They were all placed on their stools in the lockers.
No, this is awesome. You know, 25 years later, I can't believe it's 25 years. Jeez.
Remember, because of the Gulf War, I thought I was going to see you during the game on the sideline, but you couldn't get down because of security.
Someone came up and got me in the box during the game. They said they want you down on the field.
I mean, remember, I turn and there you are before Norwood's going to kick, and you and I are like this watching that kick.
On that moment when Sean's talking about us being on the sideline for the kick, I was holding one of those plastic satellite little dish things. Some guy yelled at me, said, hold this. You just did what you were told. And then when the kick went wide, we literally ran out on the turf.
Giants have won Super Bowl 25.
Before the press, well, they were still saying a prayer back in those days. Before the champagne came out, everybody took a knee. Mr. Young said, come on in that dressing room. Before they closed the door, before anybody got in, when they took a knee, I was there. You know, that was ridiculous for a singer from a rock band in New Jersey.
I was telling them when I got the ring made for you, remember that?
I sure do. You know, it is one of my absolute most prized possessions of anything I have. You know, having met Sean, having been introduced to the Giant organization, and then ultimately, you know, being able to share in something like that, it's unbelievable. The Giants have shaped John Bon Jovi's life. It's all deep blue. Everything I do is deep blue.
Despite playing with a broken wrist in 1990, Carl Banks would help lead the Giants back to the NFL mountaintop.
When I found out that I had to have surgery on my wrist, the first thing I asked the doctor was, what's the rehab? How long? He says, well, for if you were a construction worker, you'd be out 18 months. I don't have 18 months. But I knew, I said, I want to get back and play. And as I progressed, I started to talk to the doctors, and I'm aggressive as can be, and I set milestones for myself. And by the end of the season, I was back. I had a, you know, sort of a cast on it that would, you know, protect it from any further damage. But I knew I wanted to be there for the team.
Following the Giants' win against the 49ers, two former Dallas Cowboys who had never gotten a taste of a championship success had their own plans upon arrival in Florida.
Steve DiAsi, just the most adventurous dude you ever want to meet.
I got on the phone in the locker room in San Francisco, and I rented a car at the airport in Tampa.
We were going to enjoy this as much as possible, this Super Bowl experience.
So when we got there, everybody was getting on the buses going to the hotel. Cubby and I went and picked up the rental car. This is what, 5 a.m. maybe?
And I just remember us going to the stadium. There was no one out there. I think a security guard. He let us in. We told him who we were. And I remember us going up into the stadium.
And we drove around the stadium a little bit. We did like 8 laps around the parking lots in the stadium.
And we were just there, man, you know, enjoying our success and really feeling blessed about us being there and having that opportunity. And I was like, man, we have come a long way.
But the backdrop to Super Bowl 25 wasn't all fun and games, as it was clear that the nation's thoughts were with their soldiers overseas.
The air base here in eastern Saudi Arabia is again under attack.
The biggest sporting event on the American calendar takes a backseat to the crisis unfolding in the Gulf. The concerns of all Americans are not just on the football game. No, our hearts remain with our fighting men and women in the Persian Gulf, and extreme precautions have been taken here today to see that this contest is not disrupted and that the folks gathered at Tampa Stadium are safe. Early this morning, hundreds of law enforcement officials poured into Tampa Stadium. They checked underneath the hoods of cars and inside the trunks. Meanwhile, FBI agents inside a U.S. Customs helicopter studied the stadium.
What I remember, particularly being there during the Gulf War and the ride to the stadium, because we were going against traffic, it was just gridlock and just a sea of red, white, and blue. You know, we had the Bills, we had the Giants, same color schemes, patriotic thing going on. It was a surreal experience.
And Giant football in the Super Bowl. The crowd on its feet, tens of thousands of small American flags being waved.
There were a lot of flags in the stadium that day, and that was in support of our servicemen and women across the world.
when you stood in the press box and you saw the armed soldiers right outside the press box, a helicopter gunship was hovering, you know, there over the stadium, and you began to really wonder about, you know what, geez, should I really have my entire family here? However, it was the Super Bowl. All the precautions had been taken, and the build-up to the game was sensational. It's something you never forget. Whitney Houston, I mean, I describe it as my goosebumps had goosebumps. What she sung was just whoa.
That was really satisfying to win with that. After losing your quarterback, everybody said you can't win without your starting quarterback. Well, Jeff Osteen proved that wrong.
That victory in the Super Bowl was the culmination of a lot of hard work, and I think that was the embodiment of what Giants football was about.
And 25 years later, the bond this team had formed remains stronger than ever.
It's hard for me to believe that it's been 25 years since that miraculous season, but I tell you, this was such a special group of guys, a special group of players.
Well, it seems like a long time ago, but you know what, you get back here and you see the guys, and you start seeing some video of it, and you know, maybe it wasn't quite that long ago, but a lot of stuff's still fresh in your mind, and that to me is pretty amazing.
Great to see you. You look great.
Thank you.
This is really a special group, and a tremendous leader in Coach Parcells, who encouraged us all to take care of one another.
I think of all the teams I ever had, without question, this was the most resilient mentally. You know, you have your personal life and your professional life, and then you've got your memorable events, and this is one of those.
Will!
Hey, Coach.
Big dog.
How you doing, man?
Man, you ready to rock.
I know. Look, get out.
Seeing some of these guys, I haven't seen them in a long time, and what we accomplished 25 years ago, it's fantastic. It's always good to come back to New Jersey, New York, and be a part of this organization. We're all always been close, and I think we'll remain close because we have no choice because we're champions. And Bill said a long time ago, nobody can ever take it away from you.
So we put the anniversary patch on one sleeve and the Super Bowl patch on the other. And this is in honor of Stephen Baker, who never got a jacket, and I've owed it to him forever. So finally, Stephen, you get your jacket.
Today, the Giants have a very special presentation as we honor and pay tribute to one of the greatest teams in Big Blue history. Number 89, Mark Bavaro. The Super Bowl MVP, Otis Anderson. And Hall of Famer, number 56, Lawrence Taylor.
In Super Bowl 25, they didn't give us a chance. A backup quarterback, an old running back, but we had you guys.
We're glad to get back together, share it with each other, celebrate it with you, and we thank all you Giant fans for your undying support for all the years. Thanks a lot. Go Giants!
Whether it was Jon Bon Jovi taking pictures or the backup running back and quarterback having to be central figures, a special year in the history of the New York Giants. That wraps it up for this week's show. Make sure you follow the Giants on Facebook.com/New York Giants, on Twitter at Giants, and of course at Giants.com. For our entire crew, I'm Bob Papa. Thanks for joining us for Giants Access Blue, presented by Toyota.
Giants Access Blue is brought to you in part by Pepsi.
the official soft drink of the New York Giants. MetLife. Get a free quote and apply online in less than 10 minutes. Visit MetLife.com/life today.